Don't worry, I'll be folding shortly.
Can't open my. I can't use my left arm.
Worse off.
What have you done?
I don't know. I've been this way since Friday night.
Did you hurt yourself on your ball?
Did you overdo something, or was this just?
No.
Ooh. Those are cool.
Let's go to Isaiah 55. Verse 2, we studied this before, but I want us to see if it can be mixed and understood. Well, I always start in verse 1. O everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread? Actually, the better translation is, and this is what's so incredibly important, it's wherefore do you spend money? Question mark. And then it answers it. Because of no bread. And then, why do you labor? Question mark. Because of no satisfaction or no satisfying. So this isn't just, you know, connected with what you do with your job or anything. It's fundamental. Why do you I mean, come unto me, all you that are weary and are heavy laden. Why are you in that state? Because there's no bread. Why? Who told you were naked? Who told you needed more than you have? Who told you that you lack something? Where did that come from? It comes from either a comparison, or it comes from the counselors of your mind. It comes from the snake. So why do you labor? Because of no bread. Why do you spend money? Because of no bread, because of no satisfaction. And the call is, everyone that thirsteth, come to the waters. Come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price and without effort and without labor. Now we're getting down to the short hairs where, with regard to what Jesus meant when he said it's finished. It has to be cosmically finished in order for God to retain his integrity. Otherwise, his plan would be dependent on your intelligence, your ability to read. It would be dependent on 1,000 things that are meaningless. So the eternal question, why do you labor? Why? At every section, at every second of your life, why do you labor? Why are you struggling with this? Why do you labor? it's a huge leap to see that there is no labor required. It's a huge leap to see that you are never, ever, ever, there's no consideration for what you don't have. That makes the plan of God meaningless if you have to concern yourself with what you don't have. Am I communicating at all?
This reminds me of a long, long time ago. I was on a ramp, and you looked at me and asked me why. You said, why do you expect the worst? Why do you always expect the worst? Why do you not expect the best?
You have not, and again, this is what the Lord's Prayer says. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You can't hallow his name and say something is wrong or you need something or make any judgments or have any forgiveness. Then you're not hallowing his name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth. And it's already there. All you have to do is get out of the way. In earth as it is in heaven. Why? Because heaven came down to me. Give us this day our daily bread. That is not talking about what you're going to eat for food. It's give us this day the bread of the it's called, there's no translation for it in English, but it's the bread of the presence, the bread of the face. Give us this day thy daily bread, or thy, what that and it's not like a prayer, oh, I'm begging for strawberry shortcake. It's this is what alone I will eat. This is what alone will give me satisfaction. And then the forgiveness is easy. It says that, and forgive us our debts or our trespasses as we forgive others. That the only way you can do that is if you've drank, if you're not thirsty. Because if you're thirsty, you've got to condemn somebody else. Because you're dying of thirst yourself. So you have to, you can't forgive. The snake, the curse of the snake, because you have done this, cursed are you above all things that's created. Your belly shall lead you. Upon your belly you shall go. You shall be led by your belly, by your appetites. And all you will ever eat is dust, and there is no satisfaction. No matter what food product, no matter what esteem, no matter what gold or silver, anything you can conceive of, because it is comes from the dust, it is dust. And if it's made by dust, then it's certainly more dust. Why do you spend money? Because of no bread. Why do you labor? It's because you're not eating the bread. Why do you labor? Because you have no satisfaction. Therefore, you labor because you're starving or you're dying of thirst. And it doesn't matter whether you have $1 billion. So this call is like, it's not optional.
I was thinking about the word labor. It's like two men can be doing the same task, and for one it's labor, for the other it's expression. Done out in the rest.
Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and you labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in that fatness. incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. And then it goes on. Then all is, you know, consider the birds of the air. Consider the lilies of the field. Consider the ants in Proverbs. There's a sure 100% inertial guidance system within you. And his name is Jesus Christ. He cannot veer from the path. The only thing that gets you in trouble is when you consider yourself. You consider something about you or yours. And yet, how many times have you done it this weekend? Why? It's not just... It's far more than, you know, you go to the refrigerator and drink sour milk, and then the next day you go to the refrigerator and drink sour milk. It's got to come to the point where you don't even, you've lost the capacity to even consider doing that. And why would you even consider it? It's because of no faith. Because you got something you're trying to protect. And how quickly we can forget. Let's go to Proverbs 9 and look at that one more time. Wisdom hath builded her house.
What chapter?
Wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her seven pillars. She hath killed her beasts. She hath mingled her wine. She hath also furnished her table. She hath sent forth her maidens. She crieth upon the highest places of the city. Whoso is simple, let him come in here. And as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, come and eat of my bread, and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish, and live, and go in the way of understanding. At every juncture, You either are going in the way of understanding, and you're forsaking the foolish, or you're following the fool that is eating for drunkenness. That's all that self-seeking is. Whether you're eating or drinking, it's you get drunk on the wine of self-seeking. You eat to so because you're the snake is led of his belly. And eat. Why would you continue to be led of ministering to self, of filling up this thing? Take no thought for what you're going to eat. Take no thought for what you're going to wear. Take no thought for your life. Take no thought for tomorrow. Song of Solomon, chapter 5.
I'm sorry?
Take a right for a few pages after Ecclesiastes. Song of Solomon.
Chapter 5.
This is...
Well, let's... In chapter 4, verse 16, it's the maiden, the bride is considering, and she says, "Awake, O north wind, and come thou south. Blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits." And then the groom says, "I am come into my garden, my sister, my spouse. I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with my milk. Eat, O friends, drink. Yea, drink abundantly, O beloved." Don't eat this crap anymore. Don't eat this dust.
Let's circle it all. Let's go to what Paul said about all this. Go to Philippians 3. Does anybody understand me? Anybody want to argue? Please, somebody do something.
How you doing, Obi?
Well, the problem is that everything that it's speaking against is, for most of us, I guess, is that's what we were taught. I was taught to strive for.
Well, you're an idiot.
And so it's, yeah.
So why do you do it now?
No, it's unlearning behavior, and it's not easy.
It's not easy to unlearn? How long does it take? Let's assume you took a dump the last couple of days. How long does it take to walk away from it?
Quickly as possible, usually.
Yeah, well, it's the same. As long as you can see, once you see all this other stuff, when you're not painting it with gold and gilding it, or gilting, whatever the word is, shaping your dung, then you can walk away from it real easily.
Some things maybe, but not all of it.
Then you will continue to walk foolishly. If you can say that all of it is, whatsoever's a gain to me is a loss to Christ. If you can say that, And then you can continue to say, but there's some things I just can't walk away from. Then you have to say, Father, all you have to do is be honest. Okay, God, this is not your business. And he probably will do something that you don't like at all. In fact, you can probably bet on it. Because it has to disrupt and overturn all of those little orderly things that you have of what you think your purpose in life is, and what you've eaten, how many of the garments you've eaten instead of the flesh. You understand what it means to eat the garments instead of the flesh? It means you've got a purpose. There's a whole bunch of garment eating today and tomorrow. Because everybody's got an opinion about politics. And it's at best eating the garment, which is made from the dust. Or my purpose in life is, or I just want to do, or whatever you think you want to do. It's just goofy. You've never known what you want to do. The only thing you've ever known is what you don't want to do. Oh, this is what I want to do when I grow up. No, you never know that. That's just somebody else's trying to program your computer.
You know, one thing I hear in that question is that there's a tendency to change from the old behavior and adopt now the new behavior. Taking this and making it a behavior, or that's the still denying the cross and God's power to live.
Well, this is what we're about to talk about.
I just remembered the abject fear that I felt when I didn't have an answer to what do you want to do when you grow up? What do you want to be when you grow up? I didn't have an answer to that, and that just scared me to death. It was like, who told you were naked? It was like, holy crap, I don't know the answer to that. I got to find out. I've got to come up with something. So I just looked around and made something up, and then I felt better.
Damn fine, there I'll be dinner.
Then you could answer the question.
Paul says this incredible stuff. He says, be a follower of him. The only thing that you want to follow in Paul is his faith, nothing else. He did everything else wrong, just like everybody else. Verse 17, chapter 3. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have seen, have us for an example. In other words, pay attention to somebody who's walking by faith. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind or give breath to earthly things. Once again, he's saying what God, he's repeating it and targuming what is said of the snake. Upon your belly you shall go. You'll be led by your belly. Your appetites. Your inventions. And the reason that God puts us in together in small groups where there's intimacy is because I can't recognize my own crap. Means again, this thing with Ted Haggard is just killing me. Can you imagine the internal suffering that he went through, living one life and talking about another? All right, and it's a system that makes it evil because, you know, there's nobody here that expects anything of me. If you are, you're an idiot. The only thing you can expect of me is faith. But to have somebody put on a pedestal and say, you know, here's a guy, he was president of 30 million people of the National Association of Evangelicals. And yet, I doubt if he had, it's apparent, he had not one person he could be vulnerable to. Now think about that being repeated an infinite number of times in all of the religious organizations where there's no vulnerability. I mean, here we live together, we still don't have vulnerability. How difficult must it be? So how do you know? I mean, that's why everything has to be tested. Many walk, of whom I've told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Compare that with Genesis 3. I'll just read it real quick. The Lord said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. And upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And that's all. Just think of all the dust that you've eaten. Because you were deceived by the snake. So that was really good dust. Well, you're convinced that it's. And if you don't, I mean, and again, I'm not trying to talk you into anything. I don't care if you don't believe this. Well, this doesn't mean that. This means something else. Well, I don't care what you believe about it. That's up to you. I believe there's a symmetry in this that shows throughout Ecclesiastes, throughout Genesis, there's just one story.
The human race is destined to eat dust. That's all they can do. And then they put God's name on the dust. And you've got, and some of the dust is pretty valuable because it's lasted generation after generation. So it must be good. Daddy said it was a good.
Connection between Genesis and the thing we read in Philippians is powerful.
But again, you got to understand, nobody can cause you to see this. You can't be talked into it. The only thing that somebody can do is make fun of your stupid dust, your little value systems. Even, and again, go to Isaiah 40, just because it's tomorrow's election day, I want to show you something.
I never closed my mouth.
What?
I never closed my mouth.
God, I'm proud of you, Ronnie. Verse 6. The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? And the answer is, all flesh is grass, and the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the grass, the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. Why? And how did... Why does it wither and die away? Because the Spirit of God is blowing on it. That means that God is causing what you hate. Because you certainly don't want to be as meaningless as a piece of burnt up grass. Surely all the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Now, again, oh, well, that means if I read something out of the Bible and then... And that's what it, and I misquote it, and I misstate it, and I take it out of context, and I say, this is the word of God, and it's a promise for your prosperity. Well, that's so crappy that you don't even have to give it breath, because that's not going to stand forever, because they're trying to put the word of, they're trying to make the word of God be more dust. That's why even the word of God is simply the words of, about the word. The word of God is Jesus Christ. If you don't believe it, read Revelation. Anyway. O Zion that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say to the city of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. His work is already accomplished, is what that says. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Who hath, and here's part of it, that was all just the lead up. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations of the world are as a drop of a bucket, and are accounted as the small dust of the balance. And I promise you, what that means is the small dust is... the dust that's left over in the scales after the judgment has come. And again, read. If it's applied to you, it's applied to all nations. Read what the finger of God has written on the walls of your mind. Mene, mene, tekel, pharsin. You have been weighed in the balance and found eternally lacking. Why? Because you are mortal. You are corruptible. And this mortal must put on incorruption. He alone has immortality. Only that which came from the Father can return to the Father. Only that which came from eternity can return to eternity. And you and I didn't come from eternity. That's enough. Anybody have any response? What?
Time.
What?
Time.
Well, time is a great whore.
I know. I was hearing all this in reference. If you're trying to put this together and figure it out and come up with anything that you can continue in time, then you're hearing it with the ears of a Gentile, and it, because you're trying to come up with a new process.
And the test will be simple. Just watch your accountants. If something doesn't go the way you think it should,
yeah.
Some attorney doesn't pay you, what happens?
Son of a bitch.
If in a meeting that's going to happen in the future, and you decide that somebody's going to say something that's going to upset somebody else, and it makes you upset
before it even happens.
It probably won't even happen in the first place, but you get upset. And then you not only get upset about it, you send it to somebody else to get upset about it.
Who in the hell would do that?
That's the way I roll.
That's why you're here.
What, are you playing with your tits?
Yep. Feels good. I'm not going to leave the house today.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that.
Can we take that out of...
Forgive me, Father.
Let's give
that was just evil.
Let's give Ollie a show on Sirius Radio.
You feel better now, Ollie? Yeah.